Leaving a toxic marriage can feel terrifying and isolating, but what if it's actually the doorway to your most aligned and powerful life? Marcy Faith, founder of True Transformation, joins us to share how women can turn trauma into transformation and rise into the life they truly deserve.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, I'm joined by Marcy Faith, founder of TRUE Transformation, a heart-led company dedicated to guiding women through healing after leaving a toxic marriage or relationship. Born from her own lived experience, Marcy created TRUE Transformation to provide both practical tools and deep emotional support for women ready to turn their path into power and their endings into powerful new beginnings. Through her signature course, Transformative Trauma, using trauma as a catalyst for positive change after leaving a toxic marriage, and her supportive online community, the TRUE Transformation Tribe, Marcy helps women reclaim their worth, rewrite their narratives, and rise into the most authentic and aligned version of themselves. Today, Marcy and I will be discussing how trauma can become a catalyst for growth after a toxic or abusive marriage, what true healing looks like after leaving a high conflict or emotionally damaging relationship, the importance of safe community and validation during the divorce and healing journey. Welcome, Marcy.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and excited for this conversation.
Well, I am so happy to have you, and I just look forward to everything we're going to talk about. So let's jump right in. So for our listeners, Marcy, would you share a little bit more about your background and the inspiration to create TRUE Transformation?
Sure. So first of all, I was married for about 6.5 years, and I would say I was unhappy for most of that time. I think, like many women do, I kind of ignored some red flags in the beginning. I was 35 at the time, and everyone around me was married and having kids, and I just really wanted that for myself, right? And I have a very vivid memory of my wedding day being very sad, like feeling like I could have left and he wouldn't have even realized it. It was kind of like, you know, his show, his party. I was actually pregnant. I got pregnant shortly after we got engaged. So I was pregnant at the wedding and then had our son a few months after. And really, it was just kind of throughout the marriage, I would say, like, never felt like a partnership. There were trust issues around finances and things. It felt kind of like a married single mom situation. But for a while, I was really just like, this is, I'm just going to kind of deal with it. It is not my time right now. I'm going to focus on my son. And then when he's older, it'll be my time, you know? And anytime that I tried to approach my husband with something that was bothering me, it was always met with this defensiveness and anger and a victim mentality and no accountability. So it got to the point where I just stopped approaching him with anything because anxiety around that was so bad that it wasn't even worth it. So I kind of swept things under the rug. But then after the pandemic, he kind of went into like a sharp downward spiral, kind of mental health wise, I would say. And I think largely fueled by fear, but for somebody who doesn't really have healthy ways of managing emotions and is more comfortable with anger than with fear, kind of all became anger and became directed at me. And the relationship got verbally and emotionally abusive. And, you know, he brought my son into that as well, kind of involved him. And he was only 6 at the time. So that is when things kind of moved from unhappy to unsafe. And I made the decision that, like, now is the time I have to get out of this. And so for a while, it was really like living in that constant fight or flight, right? Like I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. My nervous system was just on high alert. I would sleep in my son's room sometimes because it felt safer as I was hearing my husband, you know, drunk and roaming around the house talking to himself, you know, I would hear things, you know, sounded like things were breaking, all sorts of things, right? So kind of living in that and just trying to be out of the house with my son as much as possible while I was in the background kind of planning. And so that was, you know, I got a, found an attorney, started looking for an apartment, and was doing all of these things in the background. And then ultimately, I ended up getting a protection from abuse, a PFA, and I moved out. My sister-in-law helped me move out of the house a day that he was at work. And then when he came home, he was served with the PFA and the divorce papers. And I essentially picked my son up from camp, came to this apartment, said, we're going somewhere we've never been before, and I'll explain what it is when we get there. And then got there and essentially told him, we live here now, and I don't know when you're going to see your dad again, which was, you know, not an easy thing to say. And I am forever grateful that he handled it as well as he did. And he kind of, for a long time, would make comments about how the apartment was so much nicer. He even said, you know, we really upgraded, didn't we, one time?
Aww.
And, you know, we're moving from a four-bedroom single home to a one-bedroom apartment. So granted, like, it was nicer in, like, you know, more modern, but I don't think a six-year-old was referring to, like, the aesthetic, right? Like, I think it was about, the upgrade was the energy, the feeling, like, it felt...
Yeah, the peace. Peaceful.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, after that, I really had to put a lot of work into the healing and the growth, and I was just kind of determined to make something good come out of it. And so that's why I created True Transformation, to help other women do the same and then really just support them along that journey.
And when, you know, I was gonna ask you when you were telling the story, right, when you knew it was becoming bad, how you reached out for support.
Yeah.
Because it's a private matter. It can be difficult, right? People don't ever know what's really going on, you know, behind right. closed doors and in your home. And it sounds like, though, you had a sister-in-law help you move out, and that was probably really important to have some support.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely had a lot of support from my family and from some close friends. But yeah, my family was absolutely critical in the emotional support and, like, the logistics, like, just the how do I move? How do I, like, overwhelming of, like, even just to hire a mover to grab some stuff or to help me. I mean, I left with the very bare minimum. So then there were some additional things, like, even, you know, a bed, like, I needed, that needed to be ordered. Like, those logistics are so overwhelming in that moment. So I was very fortunate to have that kind of support. And then in terms of, like, finding an attorney, I actually found my attorney through, like, a local Facebook group. You know, you can find recommendations for anything in those groups, right? So I didn't even have to ask. I just searched the group. So no one had to know that I was looking for that. I just kind of searched and saw.
Oh, and well, other people's posts. So you didn't have to even put your name. Smart.
Exactly. Exactly. Good. So other people had asked the question. And there was one in particular that a lot of people had recommended. And, you know, I'll take a pause to kind of thank you and your team for what you all do, because it is so critical to have a supportive attorney. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all very, very scary for somebody who has no idea what any of that process looks like. And it's such an emotional time that you need somebody who is going to lead you through all of the legal process, but also allow you to feel what you're feeling throughout it. So I was, you know, I was definitely fortunate that I found a great team there too.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the turning point, because obviously this was brewing. You're thinking about it. You're like, I need a plan. And something must have happened to say, I got to go now. Like, now I've got to go get that order for protection. And could you just tell us a little bit about really what was the straw that broke the camel's back that you're like, I got to do this?
Yeah. It was really when you started involving my son in things. And when the drinking became daily and it was, you know, behavior became more erratic, I was hearing things breaking and, you know, it just felt very unsafe. And that's when, like, my nervous system really switched on. And I, you know, like, literally couldn't eat or sleep. I got shingles, which, you know, is not common at that age, but no. Like, stress will do that. And it was just a matter of, you know, this is quite literally going to make me sick. Like, I cannot survive in this environment. And this is not a model that I want for my son. And I don't, you know, there was a level of unpredictability at that point too, where I was like, it's not going to get any better. I know I know where this goes if I stay. So as scary as it was to leave, it felt like my only choice at that point. I think where I struggled was more in the how, right? So as I'm talking to my attorney about getting a PFA and like what that would mean for the relationship between my son and his dad, like those things, that's where I kind of flip-flopped in like so many conversations on the phone with my attorney, just bawling, you know, back and forth of, do I want to do this? No, I want to. No, I don't. No, I don't know if I should. But, you know, I think it's important to kind of listen to your instincts, because I can very honestly say now, like 3 years later, that I absolutely made the right decision. And kind of how things happen. But I think that was, you know, my body was telling me, you are not safe. Like, this is, I think that was a big turning point.
Absolutely. Now, so many women feel isolated and ashamed when leaving a toxic or abusive relationship. Why is community such a critical part of healing?
Yeah, I think part of the shame comes from, you know, no one really, or you might assume anyway, that no one around you really knows what you're going through, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so that somehow they'll think it's your fault, or you did something or didn't do something that put you in this situation. So I think it's really important to be in community with people who get it, right? You know, at the end of the day, your emotions are yours alone. Your decisions are yours and yours alone. The consequences of those are yours and yours alone. And it's a really heavy weight to carry, and it does feel very lonely. But if you can kind of walk that path with other women who understand, you know, who truly understand what that feels like, it does at least get a little bit lighter. You know, as much support as I had from family and friends, nobody knew what any of that felt like. Nobody knew what it felt like to kind of move out and then feel like you are in hiding to an extent, and kind of be watching your back, because you don't know. Everything feels so unpredictable, and you don't know what, there might be some kind of retaliation, or you don't know what's going to happen. Or, you know, nobody knew what it felt like to have their ex-husband on the phone with their son telling them how it's going to be so great when you die. You know what I mean? Like, that's happened. You know, and nobody, you know, can truly understand what that feels like, or, you know, nobody that I knew had experienced anything like that. So throughout the whole process, that was like the one thing that I wanted so badly, was just other women who really got it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it was really important to me when I created True Transformation to have that free community aspect. And I really think it's important too to have people that, women that are in different stages of that journey, right? So the women who are really in the thick of it and need the support, and then the women who are a few years out of it and can say, look, I know it feels like it's never going to get better, and I know you're not going to believe me when I tell you that it is, but I'm going to tell you anyway. But here's what I did to get, you know, to make it better or to heal, and offer that tangible support and resources and tools and practices and all of those things as well. You know, and just in terms of kind of that nervous system piece, we are hardwired for connection. So forming safe, healthy relationships also helps us, you know, kind of reset our nervous system. We co-regulate in those environments and kind of start to teach our bodies we're safe now. And I think that's an important aspect of the healing as well.
Now, many women leaving toxic marriages, relationships, they do struggle, like you said, with fear, self-doubt, and that nervous system overwhelm.
Yeah.
So where do you suggest they begin? What have you found to work?
I think that the biggest things to work on first really are the nervous system regulation and self-love. I think those are kind of the two things that everything else is built on top of. So with the nervous system piece, you know, we carry these things in our bodies. And I don't think I ever fully understood that until I experienced something traumatic. And I saw kind of physical symptoms of that. And then even after I left, I had reactions to just the sound of his voice. If my son was on a call with him, or the thought of any kind of interaction with him, my heart would start racing, the pit in my stomach, like it all came back. And I hated it so much because it felt like it was completely out of control. Like there was nothing I could do about it, right? But there are things that you can do about it. It just takes practice. There's, you know, breath work and meditation, and music and movement, and all sorts of things that kind of help to reset your nervous system. And I think one of the biggest kind of wins of my experience, and this will tell you how much of a process it is, because it was probably only like a year ago. So if that, it was like 2 years out. But I remember picking my son up from a visit with his dad, and they have them at his mom's house. So it's usually his mom that will bring my son out to the car. And on this day, my ex-husband walked around to my car window, which would normally have me like in a panic, right? And on this day, I had no reaction. Like, I was perfectly calm, no heart racing, none of that. And I just remember feeling like, I can't wait to tell my therapist. Like, this is so...
Yeah, look how far I've come.
So that was a big deal. And then in the self-love piece, I just think in a toxic relationship, you're so broken down, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
It really just kind of tears away at you in that way. And you are the only one who's going to be able to put yourself back together, ultimately. But you need to love yourself enough to know that you deserve that and that you can do it and that you don't need to be anyone other than your complete and full self. So I think, you know, without those things in place, the rest is going to be a lot harder. So that's kind of where I would start.
Now, let's talk about how a woman can reframe the end of a toxic marriage as a beginning filled with opportunity, possibility, peace, and growth. A lot of things. But
yeah. This is a really, really important piece, I think. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I know that I can very, very easily imagine the worst case scenario. Right? Like, it's so easy to imagine the negative outcomes.
I think it's for all of us, right? We're hardwired. Our brain goes there, right? Because then it's like a survival thing. And it's training ourselves to be like, wait a minute, let's get out of that, right? Because I do think there is a part of all of us that goes there, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, some more than others, right? Worst headache in my life. You know, I get a really bad headache. I'm like, oh my God, I got a brain tumor.
Yeah.
I'm certain that's, you know, it's like, maybe I should take some Advil. Maybe Reganol, you know, but no. So I think, so from my experience, right? Yep. I'm part of that group that might go there. I can bring myself back.
Right.
But it is instinctual for me.
Right. Exactly.
To go crazy worst option.
Yeah. And I agree. I think it's natural. I think, you know, we have this negativity bias where our brains, you know, kind of focus on the negative. Uh-huh. And I think it's really important, kind of like you said, to pull yourself back and to think about, you know, what are the positive outcomes, to be curious about that part of things and the possibility. Because in most cases, when we're imagining the worst case scenario, there is no actual reason based on reality to expect it to go that way versus a more positive way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's maybe just as much actual evidence that it could go either way. But for some reason, we're imagining it's going to go the negative way. And so I think trying to retrain your brain to look for, to expect the positive is really important. I mean, ultimately, the story you tell yourself matters. Say that all the time, because I really, really believe it. You know, our brains believe whatever we repeatedly tell them. You know, the story that you tell yourself is really important, and we can choose the lens through which we see the situation, right? We can choose to see it as walls closing in on us, or we can choose to see it as doors of opportunity opening. You know, that's not to say that it's an easy thing to do. It's relatively simple, but it's not an easy thing to do. It does take practice, but it can also, you know, it can be exciting. It can be a time to really lean into self-discovery too, right? Like, maybe you've kind of been drowning in survival mode for however long, and now you get to really explore, like, what really lights me up? What do I actually really enjoy? What, you know, maybe I can try some new hobbies, or I can go back to this thing that I used to love to do, and all of those things, and really kind of design your life moving forward.
I think, you know, and I'm sure that you would say this, right? It's not going to necessarily happen overnight.
Oh, no.
But with practice, right, and the right kind of support and community, it will happen, right? And as you know, a lot of us can be impatient for that result. And just like, I think a great example is like you said, right? You've been doing the work, you've been doing the work. And then all of a sudden, oh, it is working, right? He's near me. I see him. My heart isn't racing. Like, it has happened. And that knowing when we're going to get the results, we just don't always know. But you got to keep doing the work.
Yeah.
And working towards, and just maybe a little bit every day. Because, you know, if we talk just about, you know, when you're in that relationship, that nervous system overload, like you were talking about, and you know, all the many things that you've been in, which is like a constant fight or flight, it's going to take time for your body to realize you are safe. It's going to take in your mind, like you're going to have to really actively work.
Absolutely.
On that every day, just little bits, right? Because it just takes time. And it takes time being removed from the situation.
Sure, sure. It's definitely a process. And it's definitely, you know, it's harder for those of us who have kids and you can't fully remove yourself from that person either, right? So there's a whole other layer to that. And I think, you know, there's an element of like resentment around, why do I have to do all this work? I have to change now because of his behavior, right? Like, he's the one that needs to change. Why is this me? And so, you know, I think that that's totally understandable. But also, you have to remember that, like, you know, like, I'm not changing because I need to fix myself. I'm changing to grow, to evolve, to elevate, you know, which is something that I think everybody should be doing anyway, right? So I think that's the positive in it, right? Sometimes there's growth that needs to happen, or there are lessons that need to be learned. And I believe when we ignore those, the flashing light gets brighter of, like, you know, to force us to do those things. And so that's, you know, a little bit of it too, to kind of just finding some meaning behind what you're going through is like, okay, but now it can lead me here though, and this is going to be a great place. So again, looking at it as opportunity is really important, I think. Yeah.
And, you know, this makes me think of something else, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, because so you're doing the work, right? And it is, you're resentful a little bit because you're like, that's all your fault. You know, I shouldn't have to do this. However, when you have a child and they're, which the courts generally do, right? Like, encourage that relationship is in existence. Who knows if your ex is going to do the work or not. Mm-hmm. So you doing the work will help you teach that to your child, right? Because they're going to have to relate to their father, who may never change their behaviors and their things. And now you are equipped with tools that when they come to you and have these questions or difficulties in their interactions, now you can really help.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's really important to me to be a model for my son.
I was going
to
say modeling. Yes.
That, I mean, emotional regulation. You know, I feel like so much of these things are due to people not being able to manage their emotions. You know what I mean? And so I'm afraid of that for my son. And so it's really important to me to show him, to be a model of, maybe I have some big feelings, but here's how I'm handling it. And just to show him what that kind of safety feels like too, so that he feels comfortable expressing his emotions and knowing that, you know, that it's a, that, you know, I will always be kind of the safe place for him.
Which is so important and amazing, because you probably wouldn't, and not probably, you would not be, you wouldn't have that capacity and strength if you'd stayed.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there is, when you're just living in survival mode, it's like, that's all you can focus on, right? And so in order to be the mom that I needed to be for my son, I had to get out of that situation too. So it was, it was really something, I think, for both of us, that really had to happen for both of our well-being.
Now, let's talk about, you have a course. Tell me a little bit about your course and really some of what you're doing in that course for women to help make these shifts and grow.
Yeah. So the course goes through what I call the 3B framework for transformation. So it's based on three stages. The first one is balance. So again, with that nervous system, kind of reset, balancing your nervous system. Believe, which is about reshaping the narrative and using your thoughts and kind of the power that lies there. And then the third B is build. So about kind of then creating the life that you actually deserve and want moving forward. And then there's also a whole piece about self-love, because I feel like, again, none of that is going to do anything if you're not approaching it from a place of worthiness and self-love. And then throughout the course, there are practices and tools to kind of help move through all of that.
And how long is the course?
I think it's about an hour of actual like video content. And then there is a workbook with some practices mm-hmm. that go along with it.
And then you also created a community, right? Where yeah. women can interact. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So again, I mean, that was the one thing that I personally felt like I needed. So I'll be honest and say it wasn't a totally selfless thing. Because I'm like, I need this space too. I still feel right. like, you know? And so, yeah, it's just it's a free online community for women who are kind of on this journey of overcoming and becoming after leaving a toxic marriage. And, you know, there's kind of a dedicated channel for anyone who's going through the course or for kind of conversation around that type of content. And then there's okay. also a space for just general chatting and venting and whatever you need. And yeah, it's just a space that I want women to be able to come and feel supported and feel like they're with other people who get it and can validate what they're feeling. And then, you know, anything and everything they're feeling is right and is fine. And then also, you know, have those women who are maybe further along in the journey than they are to be able to say, you know, I am proof that you can get through this. Here are some things that helped me. And that sort of thing as well. Yeah.
Now, for the woman listening right now who feels scared, overwhelmed, and unsure if she can really survive this season, what would you say directly to her?
Yeah. I mean, first I would say you're not alone. I see you. I am you. Just a little fast forwarded. And again, you know, I don't want to say like, you know, it'll get better because it's so hard to believe when you're really in it. But I think, you know, I would just kind of invite you to try to reshape the narrative into one that serves you. And so often, you know, we're so much harder on ourselves than we would be on anybody else. And so if you think about it or approach it as if it was your best friend, your sister, your mom, another woman who's close to you going through what you're going through, what would you say to her? So I kind of encourage people to write a letter, like pretend it's somebody else that's close to you. Write a letter. What would you say to them? Because most likely you would tell them that you're proud of them, that they're strong. You know, they're going to, you know, much better things are ahead for them and all of this stuff, and approach them with a compassion that sometimes is really hard for us to give ourselves. And right. then, you know, write that out and then read it over and over and over again. I know some people don't like the phrase fake it till you make it, but I think it works. I am an advocate of, you know, if you might not believe it at first, but the more that you keep telling yourself these things, mm-hmm. your brain will start to believe it. And so I think it's important to kind of just shape the narrative. And yeah, again, remember you're not alone. And there is support out there. Kind of get your team together, right? Your part of that is the professionals, your attorney, your therapist, for the kind of more tactical support. And then your friends and family that are going to help you through it. And certainly the community of women who have been there, whether that is a local support group or an online community like True Transformation Tribe.
That's great. And I think it's so true. And, you know, if having a community, I think, is so amazing, right? Because they understand. Like, it's more than just empathy, right? When you have firsthand experience of something like this, right? Mm-hmm. Like this toxic relationship, because it is unique, although it is quite, you know, there's a lot of it.
Sure.
But if you have never been in it or really witnessed it, it's difficult. It's good. You can be empathetic, but it can be kind of difficult yeah. to understand how insidious it is and how it can just erode who you are. You know, I think, I don't know where I was going with that, except to have that support, because usually, I know now, because you're talking about believing in yourself, and sometimes that's really hard. But if you find somebody else and they believe you can do it, yeah. even if you don't yet, sometimes that's helpful, knowing, all right, well, they said I could, you know, they think I can do this.
Yeah.
I got to get there. That I think has a lot to do with that self-love, which that you're mm-hmm. worth it. That it's you're worth it. I mean, I think most women, I'd be interested to see what you have found when they have children, that's what eventually spurs them to go. Sometimes they'll put up with a lot more.
Right.
And it does mess with your brain, right? Like, you honestly aren't sure. Like, what is this yeah. really happening? Is it not? But I think once you're like, okay, now this is affecting someone else that I love right. more than myself. I am going to have to take action no matter how scary that is.
I mean, that really kind of forces your hand, right? Right. So a lot of women end up in this cycle of, you know, abuse again, right? So they're constantly like, it makes them feel crazy, confusing.
Absolutely. Well, Marcy, before we go,
yeah,
which has been a great conversation, our show is called Women Winning Divorce. And I would love to know, what does winning at life mean to you?
Yeah. Well, first I'll say, I think it's easy to build resentment and anger when, you know, somebody else's behavior is kind of leading to you paying consequences. Ultimately, you've got to let go of that. It's like they're keeping you, you're staying in this prison where the resentment is eating at you, right? And so I would say, remember, if you feel like you need revenge, remember that the best revenge is a life well lived, right? I think that is so true. And so I think winning at life is about really being in the driver's seat of your own life and being able to look around and say, like, this feels right. This, you know, this feels good. This is joy and peace. And I am who I am and where I'm meant to be.
Where can our listeners find you and learn more about True Transformation and a transformative trauma course?
There are, besides the course, you'll also find some free downloads, including my favorite one is the Becoming Journal workbook, which kind of walks through 7 really important mindset shifts. And then there's a checklist for overcoming false narratives. And you'll also find the free community there as well. And then you can also follow me on Instagram at True Transformation.
I love that. And I just another plug, because I know it works, the journaling, right? Yeah. And you can really, one, get it out of your head onto paper, but then really track if you look back, right? And see, oh, look at how far I've come.
Yeah.
Because, right, sometimes every day it's hard to see, but if you go back and look, you'll be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've come a long way in 6 months or a year, even.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's a great point.
Well, Marcy, we have reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much for your time today and joining us and sharing your heart, your story, and your mission.
Your work is
a powerful reminder that even the most painful endings can become sacred opportunities for healing, self-love, and transformation. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.